On March 11, 1967, it's announced that the Beatles have won 2 Grammy Awards, John and Paul for composing Michelle, voted Song of the Year, and to Paul for the best contemporary vocal performance on Eleanor Rigby. Their German friend Klaus Voormann wins a Grammy Award for his LP sleeve design for Revolver. On the same day, Dick James tells 2 British pop papers that 446 different versions of Yesterday have been recorded so far. All through March, April, and May, the Beatles are recording at Abbey Road Studios, London. And finally, on June 1, 1967, the LP that took 700 hours to record is released on the Parlophone label. It's called Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And along with it comes a new era. Where Revolver left off, Sgt. Pepper begins. Tomorrow Never Knows, Eleanor Rigby, Penny Lane, and Strawberry Fields Forever were the forerunners of the complete change. Its concept expanded and inspired everyone in music, and has been described as the most influential album in pop history. It was a turning point. It cost a reputed £40,000 to make, a far cry from the EMI budget restrictions of the first albums. The album could be called Impressionistic Pop. George Martin feels that they were creating sound pictures, making the listeners use their imagination.
It sounds a bit pretentious to say you're doing that, but I really did feel I was. In the same way that Ravel would use the resources of a symphony orchestra to create marvelous paintings in sound. So we had different resources. We didn't have a symphony orchestra. We could have done, I suppose, but I don't suppose we would have done it half as well as Ravel did. But we had other means. We had electronic means, and we had our facilities in the studio, and also the ability to do anything. I mean, not just in terms of money, but in terms of risk. You know, if we felt at that time it was right to break a milk bottle over a cast iron desk and record that sound and multiply it, then we would have done it. We could have done. We had no restrictions on our imagination.
It was all masterfully produced on a 4-track tape machine, an incredible feat in itself. The engineer on the session was Jeff Emmerich, who describes the recording.
Well, we used to start about 4 o'clock in the afternoon and finish about 4 in the morning. We did work the hours out, and it was actually roughly about 700 hours recording time, which in those days was a lot. I think that was spread over a period of going three months. But because that's nothing now. But the concept of the album only really came together after about 6 tracks had been completed. And it was only, you know, Paul had this idea of merging the whole thing into like a show, which it was supposed to be, you know.
The concept of Sgt. Pepper was complemented by the lavish sleeve design put together by British pop artists Peter Blake and Jan Hayworth. Brian Epstein was extremely worried about putting it out and wanted it released in a brown envelope because of the alleged marijuana plants pictured in front. If you've ever wondered who is actually in the collage of people on the cover, there are wax figures of Diana Dors and Sonny Liston, cutout pictures of Shirley Temple, Stu Sutcliffe, Gene Kelly, Marlon Brando, Tom Mix, Oscar Wilde, Tyrone Power, Larry Bell, Dr. Livingston, Johnny Weissmuller, Stephen Crane, Carl Jung, Issy Bond, Mae Miller, Lewis Carroll, George Bernard Shaw, Albert Einstein, Katherine Hepburn, Marlena Dietrich, Diana Dors, Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy, Karl Marx, H.G. Wells, Mary Pickford, Sir Robert Peel, Aldous Huxley, Dylan Thomas, Albert Stubbins, Terry Southern, Dion, Tony Curtis, Wallace Berman, Tom Handley, Marilyn Monroe, William Burroughs, Bob Dylan, Hunts Hall, Merkin, Fred Astaire, Edgar Allan Poe, W.C. Fields, Karlheinz Stockhausen, Lenny Bruce, Mae West, Aleister Crowley, The Beatles from Madame Tussauds Wax Museum circa 1964, the 1967 Live Beatles, a few unknown gurus, and a few unknown school chums. And what was the meaning of it all? Well, at the time of the album's release, the Beatles considered the record to be their greatest work. And therefore, they wanted all the people they considered great or cult heroes to be with them on the cover. Paul explains his conception of Sgt. Pepper.
So Sgt. Pepper kind of eventually came out, basically from the idea that I had about this band. It was going to be an album of another band that wasn't us. We were going to call ourselves. I mean, and just imagine all the time that it wasn't us playing this album. And it was just a nice little mind warp to get you to see the album, because when you're too close, it lent distance to the album. So I had this song written of Sgt. Pepper, and he was 20 years ago, and he taught us to play, and we're his protégés, and here we are.
The title track appears in 2 forms on the album. Paul has said that he was just thinking of nice words like Sgt. Pepper and Lonely Hearts Club, and they came together for no particular reason. The Billy Shears mention came about because Paul wanted a word to rhyme with years. The first version of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band is more involved than the reprise and is prefaced by an orchestra tuning and sounds of an expectant audience. The powerful brass, bass, guitar, and drums segue into a plaintive ditty especially written for Ringo. He has said that he's not very good at singing because he hasn't got a great range, but John and Paul wrote songs for him that are pretty low and not too hard to sing. The piece A Little Help from My Friends was perfect for Ringo. One afternoon in March, Paul and John got together in Paul's workroom in his house on Cavendish Avenue near the Abbey Road Studios. They called Ringo to say they'd finished the song for him to sing on the new album. But they hadn't. And since Ringo was prepared to come, they quickly wrote a piece and recorded it that night.